As more baby boomers reach retirement age and more retirees choose North Carolina as a destination, the state's population of residents age 65 and older is growing. The figure increased by 335,000 people between 2010 and 2016, according to U.S. Census Bureau data. This trend is creating an ever-increasing demand for senior care services and communities. Some retirees choose a continuing care community where lifetime care is provided as residents age and healthcare needs change. Such developments are growing in the Charlotte area. Seniors and their families who are considering this option need to understand not only the advantages, but also the financial and other terms of joining a continuing care community. On a 60-acre site carved out of former farmland in Matthews, construction is humming along at Windsor Run. It's a new retirement community owned by Maryland-based Erickson Living. The development's first phase features more than 200 independent living apartments. Erickson also plans to build assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory care facilities at Windsor Run, creating what is commonly known as a continuing care retirement community. The concept appeals to Sarah Klemmer.
So I'm hoping that what they're doing to their house will help sell mine. You know, people will think, oh.
Klemmer has lived in Charlotte's Plaza Midwood neighborhood for 31 years. Her husband died 11 years ago. Now in her early 70s and active, Klemmer loves her neighborhood and doesn't want to leave it. But she also doesn't want to keep taking care of her house or move from one senior facility to another if she needs more care in the future. So, Klemmer is selling her home and will move this fall into a brand new unit at Aldersgate, a continuing care community in East Charlotte.
Where, if I get sick, there's a place there that I can recuperate, they can take care of me. If I need assisted living, there's a place I can move within the community. I expected to be taken out of here in a box, but now I'm going to be taken out of there in a box.
Aldersgate is completing an $85 million expansion. On another side of town, the Southminster Continuing Care Community is also expanding and renovating to the tune of $120 million. Stuart Wiley is Sales and Marketing Director.
There is strong demand. I think the demographic data would support the demand that we're seeing. You're seeing that visually in the number of communities that are either being built or the expansions that are going on in each of these communities.
The website Smart Asset, using census data, reports that in 2016, North Carolina was the third most popular destination for retirees who were moving to a new state. South Carolina ranked fourth. The National Investment Center for Senior Housing and Care says that since early 2015, 872 new units in independent living and continuing care communities have come online in the Charlotte metro region. Along with a full spectrum of care, many such communities offer an array of amenities like swimming pools and banking services. Such developments also require hefty upfront payments or entrance fees. Stephen Mogg is with Leading Age, an association that represents senior care providers.
Typically speaking, the entrance fee market ranges from, you know, the lower six figures, $150,000, $180,000, all the way up to many hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending on the size of the unit, the services packages to be provided.
At Aldersgate in Charlotte, for example, moving into a 1,376-square-foot apartment in the community's newest units requires a minimum entrance fee of $312,591. Entrance fees at Aldersgate can top $500,000. At Southminster, the fees range from under $100,000 to more than $800,000. And then there are the monthly fees for living in a continuing care community. They cover the housing itself, maintenance, and typically at least some meals and services like housekeeping and transportation. In the Charlotte area, monthly fees range from about $2,000 to nearly $5,000. Incoming residents sign a contract with the continuing care provider. In some cases, residents pay a higher entrance fee in exchange for guaranteed stability in monthly fees, even if more medical care is needed later on. Other contracts feature lower entrance fees, but monthly charges go up as health care needs increase. Again, Stephen Mogg with Leading Age.
It comes down to assigning who's going to have the risk of future costs of health care. Are you willing to take that risk and not find the kind of contract that covers that, or are you more concerned about it and are willing to pay the money to lock that in and know that you will be secure.
Entrance fees may be non-refundable or partially refundable depending on the contract and on an incoming resident's age, says Aldersgate CEO Susan Pugh.
We would not offer a 90% refund option to a 92-year-old person coming in.
Experts stress that consumers should carefully review a continuing care contract before signing it and have an accountant or lawyer do the same to make sure the financial terms are understood. This includes the question of whether any portion of an entrance fee would be refunded to the estate of a resident who dies. Or, says Hillary Kaler with the Centralina Area Agency on Aging, a resident simply decides to move out.
Many of those have a clause that'll say, you know, for this period of time, 6 months, a year, you could get most of it back, a percentage of it back if it's not for you. There might be some fees that you lose. It just kind of depends on what you agreed to up front.
Seniors and their families should also understand how future decisions about their health care needs would be made, says Brad Paulus with an independent accrediting commission known as CARF.
What happens if you need care? Who makes the decision in terms of transferring to a higher level of care? How involved is your family with the medical staff on site?
Except for any Medicare or Medicaid-funded services, continuing care communities are not regulated by the federal government. Most states do provide some oversight. North Carolina's Department of Insurance licenses providers and requires them to file an annual disclosure statement, including financial information. At the end of 2017, for example, Charlotte's Southminster community reported cash on hand of a little under $1.3 million. For Sarah Klemmer, the decision to leave the neighborhood she loves makes sense financially and logically, but still, she says, it's been emotionally wrenching. And the notion of joining a continuing care community is a psychological adjustment, too.
You know, this is the last house I'm going to have, the last apartment. You know, you come face to face with your mortality a little more. You know, both your parents are dead and you're getting up there, and that's something that you have to think about. And this is making me think about that.
As the nation's wave of baby boomers continues to roll into retirement, more and more seniors will be pondering such realities, along with the often challenging decisions about what kind of senior care environment fits their preferences and their budget. For WFAE News, I'm Mark Rumsey in Charlotte.